Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Beat. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we're super excited to have you here with us. We're kicking things off. We're heading back to my home state for a conversation we had yesterday. We loved so much. We're going to share with you again in about 15 minutes. My home state is offering $1 million to those who get vaccinated. That's a big, big number, and they're offering it to five different people. Find out where this is happening and if it could come to your state next. I think there's a good possibility that could happen. Also, Laverne Cox, she's had a bit of a roller coaster week, highs and lows with Universal Studios and Universal, NBC Universal altogether. You know, on one hand, she gets announced she's got a major new gig starting next year. But then on the other hand, they used a male actor to dub her voice in some international projects that she did. Is that problematic? What do you think, Michaela? Oh, wait. Also, Michaela's still in bed, y'all. I don't know where she is right now. She has not shown up for work just yet. We work insane hours. We can't get a hold of her. But, is she taking a nap, Justin?
Just a little nappy,
too. Just sleeping in a little bit. She works really, really hard. Let's be honest.
She needs her beauty sleep. She has to look that good.
She's been looking a little ragged lately, so I understand. I haven't worn anything other than athleisure wear for a solid 14 months, so I can totally relate. But yeah, we don't know where she is just yet. It's the funniest thing. I walked in this morning, and here at Channel Q, we're part of the Odyssey family, right? We're part of what we call the Los Angeles cluster. So all of our counterparts are in this building. We're talking K-Rock, Amp, K-Earth, The Wave, some iconic brands, all here part of the Odyssey family. And one of our counterparts over at K-Earth, I walked in this morning, and I was running late. I overslept this morning. And she goes, honey, for the first time in 20 years, I overslept too. So there must be something in the air. I don't know. Is Mercury in retrograde? Can we look that up, Justin?
I'll look that up.
Can we find an excuse for Michaela? Something from the stars, perhaps, would be really nice because, you know, I got to cover for my girl right now. But regardless, is it?
May 29th.
Oh, gosh. You know what? She's always been a trendsetter.
She's always early.
She's always a little bit early. That's definitely not true. She's always late.
Not at all.
No worries, though. We're going to have a great show. We also have a game planned a little bit later on in the show. Super excited about that. Not sure how that's going to go.
Well, if we find a second player, I mean, maybe we can grab someone from Amp.
We can roam
K-Rock
the hall. Well, there's this guy who's been cleaning feverishly for the last few months, keeping us safe from COVID. Maybe we can just see if he can pop in the studio and play a game with us.
We're both fully vaxxed. We can bring him in.
Sure, why not? Also, we had a conversation yesterday with a good friend of mine, Elizabeth Wagmeister of Variety Magazine. She had an exclusive sit-down interview with Colton Underwood. He's the former bachelor who came out as gay on Good Morning America last month with Robin Roberts. A lot of mixed emotions, a lot of high intensity emotions within our own community based on his coming out story. People are having heavy reactions to it. And she's actually going to join us a little bit later on in the next hour, actually, to give us her take on Colton Underwood and his whole coming out process. But right now it is time for News on the Beat. So let's just do it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Are you going to cover my weather for me, Justin?
Put
your weather girl hat on. That was sexist to me. Why did I assume that people have to do the weather have to be women? Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Well, it's usually
Michaela. Roker, I mean.
Oh, there you go. There it is. All right, here goes. People in the U.S. who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 do not need to wear masks or practice social distancing indoors or outdoors, except in certain circumstances, according to new guidance from the CDC. This news is a game changer, and some states and businesses are already reconsidering their mask policies in response. However, experts say there's still a long road ahead for those who haven't been vaccinated, and questions remain for people with compromised immune systems or households with unvaccinated children or other members. members. Meanwhile, the fate of the Tokyo Olympic Games is still up in the air. A doctors' union in Japan has urged the government to cancel this summer's competition, citing the country's low vaccination rate. Also, I'm sad about that one. I want the Olympics to happen.
It's going to happen.
Do you think so?
Of course.
Do you think they'll find a way?
There's too much money involved.
I feel like that part, and they said they wouldn't postpone it another year. Maybe it's going to happen in the fall. I don't know. But it throws a wrench in the plans of a lot of athletes, ramp up to something that big. I think Joe Biden just needs to send all the extra vaccines to Japan.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do next.
Well, I mean, and also to the Olympians.
The Olympians, blah, 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 them, and then to Japan.
There you go.
I mean, we dropped two nukes on them back in the 40s, and we owe them that, don't we?
Let's not bring that up.
Too soon?
A little soon.
Oh, America. How about some weather, Justin?
Yeah, I got some weather for you. It's going to be a high of 100 degrees in Palm Springs. 73 is the high in Boston today, 64 in Chicago, 100 in Scottsdale, 59 is the high in San Francisco. Ooh, nice, cool, and cloudy. And 72 is the high in D.C. Vegas. Vegas is probably one of our favorite places to go. You're looking at a high of 99 degrees today.
Okay, so I want to tell you something about Vegas.
Yeah.
I miss Vegas like I miss, I don't, like, my, I probably miss Vegas more than I miss my own mother. That's where I am right now, and I want to go to Vegas very, very soon. Michaela's from there. She tells me all these iconic stories of Vegas. So I think I'm going to head there. I have to pay for it, though. Two lucky listeners won't have to pay for it, perhaps, because we're sending someone to Vegas. All you have to do is head over to WeAreChannelQ.com right now. You and a friend, we're going to cover round-trip airfare, an epic two-night stay at the brand-new Resorts World Las Vegas, and while you're there, we're going to throw in two VIP passes to catch the DJ Tiesto do a set at the IU Day Club. It's all part of their grand opening, Resorts World Las Vegas. It's iconic. It's gorgeous. Head over to WeAreChannelQ.com right now for your chance to win. Time is running out. Here is your vibe of the day. Mindset is what separates the best from the rest. And speaking of the best, one of the best in the game, in my opinion, Laverne Cox. We're talking about her in about 30 minutes. But first, we're heading to my home state of Ohio. They're doing something really interesting to get people vaccinated. Find out what next. Welcome back to the Morning Beat. In breaking news, Michaela Gordon is up out of bed. She just gave me a call in a panic. Full hysterics ensued. And hopefully she's driving safely to work right now. Look at that. Wouldn't you know it?
Oh,
come on in.
Come on in.
Look who's here as we go live on the air with her high, messy pony and her oversized denim jacket, Michaela Gordon. How are you? Wait, is her mic on?
It is.
This is live radio, y'all. She just walked in studio. I had no idea she was even coming until she just got here. How are you?
Good morning, Sunshine.
Good. Okay, listen to me. I've worked here for 3 years. I've never slept in. But I got to tell you something. I had, God, let me roll up to the mic. I don't know what happened. You guys, I don't want to say that I did like drugs on the air last night, but I was like having a little anxiety. So my doctor was like, here, take this. I slept through the whole morning. I was asleep.
Listen, if it's from your doctor, it's safe. We're glad you're here. I took an antihistamine last night. I decided to, my allergy medication. Remember I was really struggling last month?
Yeah.
I got an allergy medication for a month. My doctor said, you might want to stay on this for the next 90 days. I've written you two refills. Go at it, right?
Yeah.
I did it for 30 days. I'm like, I'm better. And then I stopped last week. And this week I've been struggling again, so I finally went and refilled my prescription yesterday, antihistamine. I'm feeling a little bit better, but I also slept in today too. And I'll tell you, I walked in.
You
this,
did?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I walked in this morning late. And I was like, oh, gosh. And I texted both of you this morning. Never got a response from you, should have been a red flag.
Sound asleep.
And then I saw Lisa Stanley over at K-Earth. She's like, honey, I slept in today for the first time in 20 years.
She did too?
So yeah, I immediately got into the studio. Our first segment this morning during News on the Beat, I said, Justin, is Mercury in retrograde? And you said...
No, we're a week early of it.
Yeah,
and then I said, well, Michaela's a trendsetter. She's always early. Then we said, well, no, she's actually not. She's really late right now.
You guys, Lisa literally...
Well, I called Lisa.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Her phone
God.
Was turned off. I said, listen, is there a little princess coming to work today? Or is this the day she finally said, F it, I'm out.
Okay, but also, I called you and you go... Well, good morning. I don't know why Lisa thought that was the funniest thing. I'm like, I'm going to panic, Lisa. She goes, Well, good morning.
Well, listen, we were going to talk about Laverne Cox here, but this is too good. I think we should just stick with this for a minute. We'll get to Laverne later.
Yeah, we will.
Laverne
okay.
can wait.
No, yeah, can I have a minute to wake up?
Here's the thing. We work, first of all, if you could only see Michaela right now in this messy high bun, but also her...
My eyes are barely open.
Her collar on her denim jacket from her dead grandmother, Vivian Cavaricci, is not even popped. It's tucked inwards right now. How fast... Okay, I want...
Let me tell you something.
Talk us through the moment you woke up and saw the 38 missed messages and calls from our producer, Justin.
So I took a Xanax... Because I've been getting anxiety. I took it last night.
Right? This is
true. I've never taken one.
You did say yesterday for like 2 years now, every couple of years you get some anxiety. You go through a season of anxiety.
So yesterday I could not breathe. I don't know what was going on. I've been having like a little anxiety. So last night I took a Xanax prescribed by my doctor. And then I was like, oh, all right. Good night, world. Went to sleep. Then Lisa goes, before you called, Lisa goes, hey, babe, I think you're supposed to be doing your show. And I was like, what?
It's Friday.
And I was like, oh, my God. You remember the Home Alone moment where she realizes that she forgot her kid?
Kevin!
I went, oh, my God! Then I call you, and you're like... Good morning. Easy.
Well, I knew you'd be panicked. I didn't want to add to it. And also, low-key, I could talk for 4 hours if I had to. I could cover the show.
Okay, well,
it might not be a good show, but I could do it.
Well, I was having a meltdown. So I get up, throw this jacket on, and Lisa's like, do you want coffee? It's already made. And I was like, no! And then I go, I'll just pour it in the cup.
Backtrack. How is the coffee already made? This is what I want to know.
Lisa sets it on a timer.
Oh.
So that I...
Because you would have been up by then.
Of course. So she goes, do you want some coffee? And I was like, no. And then I go, well, give it for the road. So she's pouring. I'm brushing.
So you have a coffee?
No. I usually bring you a coffee. I chugged it in the car.
Today you didn't even bring me one. Wow. Okay, you had all that extra time. Listen, I'll tell you.
I had no time.
Xanax is trouble. That's not... You don't take a Xanax for the first time on a weeknight of a work night. You just don't do it.
I took like 0.05.
Oh, no, like a quarter of a bar. I took Xanax for the very first time years ago. You remember my ex, Ryan? That's how you and I met, right? He was our boss, and that's how we met 15 years ago. He and I were going to Italy on a vacation. And we had to fly from L.A. to Philly, and then from Philly to like somewhere like Munich, and then connect from Munich into Rome, right? And so from L.A. to Philly, before the L.A. flight, he took Xanax because he had an instance years ago on a plane where they almost crashed or he thought they were going to in his mind. And
he's
had anxiety about flying ever since.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, so he has to take Xanax to get on a plane. He's like, here, take this. You'll be fine. I'm like, what is this? He's like, you'll sleep. We need to get our sleep before we get to Rome so we can hit the ground running. I'm like, okay, great. Never done it before. Take my very first Xanax. So I sleep the entire way to Philly. I'm so groggy. I have to lug through the airport, we made sure we got to our gate. We sat down at their gate, our flight from Philly to Rome or from Philly to Munich. And all of a sudden, I wake up out of a dead sleep, right? Both of us out. I'm drooling all over myself and all over my shirt. And I'm lying on my backpack at the terminal waiting to get on the plane. And we wake up to them yelling, last call, passengers, my name and his name. And they just kept saying our names over and over again.
Oh my
That's what I woke up to. Ryan goes, our flight! He gets up, runs. He's like, come on. He grabs his bag. He runs to the gate. And mind you, once they close that door, they don't let you back. And this is a flight to Italy. That was paid for by a really wealthy friend of ours. We went on a group trip with like 20 gays, right?
Yeah.
I go to stand up. My right leg is dead asleep. I fall down.
Oh, my God.
On the person sitting next to me. I take my other leg to push up. That one's also asleep. I fall to the ground completely. I can't even stand up. He's at the gate by this point looking around like, my boyfriend's with me. I have no idea where he is. He's looking. He can't see me because I'm lying on the ground because I can't stand up because both my legs are asleep from Xanax. And he got them to hold the door, dragged me to the door, sat me down on the plane, and I slept all the way to Munich. So I get it.
Xanax is a drug, honey.
I have more
anxiety being on Xanax than I did without it.
Congratulations, it worked.
Oh.
What worked?
You got your sleep.
You got your sleep.
Listen, I'm terrified now.
You look great. Let's play her some music on the way out.
What
music do we have for her that might be appropriate?
Don't, I might fall asleep again. I'm tired.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for our first round of What's Poppin' of the Morning. This one's sort of iconic. I'm pretty excited about this. I'm a fan of Elle Woods, and apparently she and her counterparts are about to get a lot more queer. Michaela, what do you have for us?
Okay, so this is so funny because I just watched Legally Blonde two nights ago, and I'm obsessed. She was 25 years old when she made that movie.
Reese Witherspoon?
Yes.
Wow.
If you can even stand it. So Legally Blonde is doing an all LGBTQ live read part for Pride, and I think that this is amazing. Now, the event includes a virtual live read of Legally Blonde, featuring an all queer and trans cast. The fundraiser that they're doing this for comes as the film starring Reese Witherspoon celebrates its 20th anniversary on the heels of the success of the all trans live read of Brokeback Mountain, which is also coming in October. So they're taking these like really iconic films and having live reads with LGBTQ people. And I just love it. I think it's going to be great. Now, the event will kick off June 4th to the 7th. And it aims to kick off Pride Month, showcasing six feature films along with a short film program co-presented with Vimeo and LGBTQ-focused panels and special events. And I think it's so cute.
Let's just take a moment to talk about how old we feel right now. Iconic films of our past, like Legally Blonde and Brokeback Mountain. It doesn't feel like 20 years ago.
Well, listen, I watched Legally Blonde two nights ago, and she was so cute, Reese Witherspoon. I said, how old is she? 25.
That's just wild. That's so cool.
She was only 25.
She blew up really, really young. Remember, she did Election, Legally Blonde, all in that era, and she was,
she was 14 when she started.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. So she was a veteran by then, a pro.
Yeah.
It's weird because I remember I used to think, oh, there it is. I love this.
I love it.
I used to think, oh, God, old people are so weird. And I used to think old people meant like 30s and 40s, right? And I always wonder how they're like, back in our time, I'm like, oh, please. What are you talking about, the 80s? Now, I'm that old person.
Yeah,
it's me.
Yeah.
I'm
it's okay.
Not.
Don't worry. I am too.
You're young.
I am too. Well, so is Reese Witherspoon. She's no young chicken, but we love her, and I love this because I think
you call her young chicken.
Yeah, is it spring chicken?
Yeah, you're so close, so close.
It's always just one
this
word
is,
away.
This really, truly is a perfect day. I love this version of Michaela. She's been awake for 9 minutes. We've already done two segments.
We love this for me. All right. Well, coming up, we have a really interesting guest on. Elizabeth Wagmeister was in charge of the interview with Colton Underwood, where he discusses the controversy around him coming out. She discusses what she thinks and how it's going. She is a writer for Variety. Coming up next.
Yesterday, we had a fantastic conversation with a good friend of mine, an old colleague of mine from my days at Fox 11, Good Day LA here in Southern California, Elizabeth Wagmeister. She's a head writer and correspondent for Variety. She's broken really, really big stories over the years, and she just recently got to do a sit-down exclusive interview with Colton Underwood. He came out last month to Robin Roberts on Good Morning America. It really divided our community. You know, the white cisness of it all, getting the reality show on Netflix. There's a lot of layers to this. But he made some revelations to her in this blockbuster interview. And she's actually joining us in 15 minutes to share what that experience was like and what her takeaways are. Might change some hearts for those judging Colton Underwood. So that conversation's coming up. We're going to share it again with you here in about 13 minutes. So stick around for that. If you missed it yesterday, it's really, really fantastic. So I highly recommend you stick around. I'm very proud of this interview. Right now, it is time for some news on the beat. Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us?
All right, babe. Well, people in the U.S. who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 do not need to wear masks or practice social distancing indoors or outdoors, except in certain circumstances, according to new guidance from the CDC. This news is a game changer, and some states and businesses are already reconsidering their mask policies in response. However, experts say there's still a long road ahead for those who haven't been vaccinated, and questions remain for people with compromised immune systems or households with unvaccinated children or other members. Meanwhile, the fate of the Tokyo Olympic Games is still in the air. A doctors' union in Japan has urged the government to cancel this summit's competitions, citing the country's low vaccination rate.
Listen, the mask guidelines are a little bit confusing. We've got Dr. James from What the Health at 8:20 Pacific, 11:20 Eastern to kind of clear up some of the confusion, because while Joe Biden and the CDC have now taken their masks off, it really depends on the states and the local governments right now. And also, companies like Target, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, if they're still asking you to wear a mask, you still have to. I went to the gym yesterday and did some stretching because my back's been bothering me, and I thought I'd sit in the steam room because they're open again, right? It's supposed to be a capacity of two people. Well, I'm sitting in there, and I walk in there, and there's two guys in there, and I was kind of like, They're like, it's okay, we're fine, we're fully vaccinated. I'm like, okay, sure. He's like, bro, if you keep that mask on, you're going to die, though. Because I had my mask on. And I was like, it's an ironic thing to say.
God.
Like, I think the mask is the thing that's actually keeping us. But I'm also fully vaccinated. So I was like, I'll see him for a couple of minutes. But it's a mixed bag. Nobody really knows. We're in a gray area right now. And people are kind of confused by the guy. I was like, do we take our mask off and go everywhere? No,
it's not
quite yet.
I know. I went to the gas station yesterday and this guy had his mask off. And I was like, I guess this is who we are. I don't know. All right. Well, in other news, the Biden administration is looking to identify vulnerable migrant families in Mexico and admit them to the U.S. instead of expelling them under a Trump-era border policy known as Title 42. The policy was enacted at the start of the pandemic, and critics say it puts migrants and asylum seekers in harm's way, exposing them to potentially dangerous conditions in Mexico. Because of Title 42, many migrant families have opted to separate from their children since the rule does not apply to minors. Two large emergency intake sites in Texas that have sheltered unaccompanied children during this year's influx of arrivals will close by early June, marking some of the first closures as the number of kids in border facilities drops.
You know what's really interesting to me is that Americans view Mexico as a vacation destination, right? We go that, but millions of Americans go there every single year to go to Cancun or Cabo or Puerto Vallarta, right? And now their COVID numbers are so high. Yet when we reverse it, we only view them as like murderers and rapists, as Donald Trump would say, you know, and we don't want them coming into our country. Yet we want to go use their beaches and their resources and like live our best lives because we're looking to get married there.
Yeah.
My partner and I. It's a gorgeous country. So something needs to be figured out in immigration. I know it's tricky, but they got to get it right.
1,000%. All right, let's do a little weather. It's going to be a high of 70 in LA today, 99 in Vegas, 100 in Palm Springs, 82 in Houston, 72 in Kansas City, and 82 in Miami. Now give us a vibe of the day.
99 in Vegas. First, I'm going to tell you about a really cool opportunity. Head over to wearechannelq.com right now for a chance to win round trip airfare for two and an epic 2-night stay at the brand new Resorts World Las Vegas. While we're at it, we're going to throw in two VIP passes to catch DJ Tiesto's set at the IU Day Club. It's all part of the grand opening of Resorts World Las Vegas. It's iconic. Go check it out online. While you're there, head over to wearechannelq.com and enter. You're running out of time to win these tickets. So do it now. Here's your vibe of the day. Mindset is what separates the best from the rest.
Absolutely. Just have a good mindset. All right, well, coming up, we're really excited because the writer of the Variety piece, where Colton Underwood speaks about, his controversial coming out, Elizabeth Wagmeister, joins us next to talk about talking with Colton and what she thinks next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for another round of What's Poppin'. Speaking of stronger, do we think the last year has made Ellen DeGeneres stronger? What are the details?
Yeah, listen, it's crazy because Ellen DeGeneres announced yesterday that the upcoming 19th season of her once hit daytime talk show will be her last, claiming the show is just not challenging anymore. However, she's also discussing how it was a toxic environment for her. She feels like it was very misogynistic. Take a listen.
If it was why I was quitting, I would have not come back this year. I really did think about not coming back because it did, it was devastating. I am a kind person. I am a person who likes to make people happy. I just kept saying to Portia, I was like, if I was a fan of somebody, and even if I loved them, I would think there must be some truth to it because it's not stopping.
So that was her interview with Savannah Guthrie from the Today Show, and she's addressing the rumors of the scandal last year that included allegations of a toxic workplace, bullying, and harassment. And she's saying, listen, if that was why I was quitting, I would have just not come back. Now, that does make sense. And then Savannah Guthrie said, Did you feel like, did you ever feel that? Did you ever feel like the attack that they are claiming that you did was real? Or do you think it was more calculated to get you out of there? And she answers, take a listen.
I mean, I really didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. It was too orchestrated. It was too coordinated. And, you know, people get picked on, but for 4 months straight for me, and then for, you know, for me to read in the press about a toxic work environment when all I've ever heard from every guest that comes on the show is what a happy atmosphere this is and how, what a happy place it is.
That's not true, though. I will say that I know people, celebrities that are friends of mine that have gone into the show and they were not treated well. So,
well, celebrities came out and said they treated them poorly as well. We talked about that when this was all breaking. And here's the thing. When you're at that level, you're so disconnected from reality in some ways. And for her to still be like, I still don't get it. I don't agree with it. I don't understand it. Well, it's kind of like if people are telling you, if somebody tells you, you're offending me, or I find that comment to be misogynistic or sexist or racist or whatever, you got to listen at some point.
Yeah. And it actually makes me upset that she said, I have to say, if nobody else was saying it, it was really interesting because I'm a woman and it did feel very misogynistic. They weren't men coming after her. They were people that were coming after her, her own guests. And I don't like that she's manipulating the situation because she's a woman.
Well, when you're that successful too, nobody's going to bring it to your attention. Nobody's going to tell you, hey, that wasn't fun, because you're successful and powerful. I don't care if she's a man or woman, or if she's a, you know, whatever she is. It doesn't matter. She's in a position of power. So, and that's one of the places. If you're doing press, if you got a film coming out, a book, like something you want to promote, there are a handful of places you can go nowadays where you know you're going to get millions of viewers.
Yeah.
The Ellen Show is one of them. So for the sake of their own gigs and their own livelihood, of course nobody's going to speak up.
Yeah.
I've heard so many horrible things about the environment on her show.
And I've heard it for years.
And about her in particular. And so, I mean, Dakota Johnson was a perfect example of a guest who was on their show that says that was not a good experience for her. Who was the one, who was on her show? It was a member of our community. This last year we were talking about.
She's a YouTuber, a makeup artist.
Yes.
And she was trans. And she said that she made her use the bathroom.
Yes. The wrong bathroom or something.
That was crazy.
A lot of
I don't sympathize with Ellen. I've known for a long time those rumors, and I don't think it's misogynistic, and I don't like that she's blaming it on that. However, no one wants to be bullied.
Oh, who is it?
Oh, Nikki yes.
De Jaeger?
Yeah, Nikki. She just goes by Nikki.
Okay,
Is a makeup artist. Yeah, she's great. All right, well, coming up in What the Health, Dr. James joins us to talk about the end of masks for fully vaxxed people and what that looks like coming up.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Coming up this hour, we've got Dr. James joining us once again for What the Health, major announcement from the CDC and from the Oval Office yesterday as President Biden and Kamala Harris took off their masks and told us we could all do the same if we are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, 2 weeks out after our final vaccine. Also, that goes for indoor and outdoor settings. Everything except for large gatherings indoors. We're now safe to take our mask off. But what does that mean? Because we walk outside and people are still wearing their masks. You still have to wear them if you go to the store. You still have to wear them if you get on a plane. So we're gonna explain exactly where we are in the pandemic mask-wearing process. Dr. James is going to clarify things for us in just about 12 minutes. He's really great at sort of breaking down complicated issues and making them more simple for our little brains, Michaela.
Our little tiny brains.
No, don't you. That was a test. Don't accept that. You're smart.
I'm not.
You're so wise.
But I am still confused about the masks.
Exactly, right? So that's why Dr. James is joining us.
We need a little help.
We think a lot of our listeners might be feeling the same. So here we are. right now, though, there's no confusion about this guy. I'm in love with him. I fell in love with him during this election cycle over on MSNBC. big news for Steve Kornacki. What's going on? What's going on in news on the beat?
Okay, so for years, MSNBC political correspondent Steve Kornacki has engendered fandom for his deep knowledge of electoral sports facts, and as well as his humble wardrobe of Gap khakis and dress shirts. People love it. Now his nerdy charm will play to even bigger audiences. Kornacki has secured a new multi-million dollar four-year contract that will employ him across NBC Sports and its entertainment division, in addition to NBC News, where he will be a mainstay of MSNBC's political coverage, the LA Times reports. Now, as part of the deal, the gay sports fan will become a regular analyst for NBC's Football Night in America, often offer halftime commentary during Sunday Night Football and provide coverage during the Super Bowl, Olympics, and major horse racing events. Kornacki will also develop, produce, and host a forthcoming game show for Peacock, NBC's streaming service.
Listen, I love this guy.
I love him too. There's more to say. Kornacki will also continue the political and election coverage for MSNBC that first brought him adoration. Some television viewers first became familiar with the Boston native during his round-the-clock coverage of the 2020 presidential election, where he wore the same rumpled clothes for days. The battered tie that he donned during the broadcast, held together by staples, may now be inducted into the Smithsonian. Kornacki even became a sex symbol to many and made People's List of the Sexiest Men Alive. He said, I'm flattered, but I do find it inexplicable.
Of course you would say that. I love him. I not very often do I just fall head over heels. Like, not even love. It's not even an attraction thing.
Right.
But he is sexy.
He's just adorable.
But because he's adorable, because he's a nerd. And he just loves figures and numbers and statistics and the way he could just throw knowledge out there. And to watch this poor disheveled man make it through this wild election was something to behold. I'm usually a CNN guy. I'm going to tell you. I snuck over to MSNBC a few times because of Steve Kornacki.
For Steve!
Now they're paying him for it. And also to break down sports, they're not going to know what to do with this guy.
Also,
he's just so likable.
Also, when I say Steve, I think of our
program director's husband, Steve. There's a running joke on our
show.
What
people don't know about Steve, Steve Holt. Is that his last name? Would that be his last name?
No, it's not Steve Holt. You don't know his last name?
Well, I know Brian Holt's last name. What's Steve's last name?
So our program director's husband is named Steve. I've still yet to meet the guy. We've been in the pandemic
since I've lived here.
But we hear how wonderful he is. The running joke is, he has a good sense of humor. He likes our...
He has our sense of humor.
Our very dark sense of humor. So sometimes we'll do a promo that we record for our show to encourage you to come listen on the next day, right? You hear them throughout the day on Channel Q. If we really think we nail one, or if we think it's very, very, very inappropriate, the running joke in the room is, send it to Steve.
Send it to Steve.
Steve will love it. He'll sign off on it. He has no authority here whatsoever,
Steve,
by the way.
Steve has all the authority on it, honestly. I know Steve. I've met Steve, and Steve is a big fan of us, and we're a big fan of Steve. And that's what I think of, not Kornacki.
He could be the only reason Steve we still have jobs here.
What is Steve's last name?
We don't need to give out Steve's last name live on the air.
All right. Well, just Steve, you know who you are.
Also, low-key, my dad and stepdad are both named Steve.
I know. That's so weird and amazing.
And my mom and stepmom are both named Kathy.
Just in case you missed that at some point. So weird and amazing and incredible.
But that is not, that Steve is not my dad.
Maybe he is.
He's Brian's daddy.
Oh, my God.
But he's not my dad.
What if Brian's husband was your father?
Okay. Wow. That would be a plot twist.
Is that wild? Just think about that. I'm going to do the weather. It's going to be a high.
Fall off.
I have 82 in Miami, 61 in San Francisco, 100 in Phoenix, 61 in Buffalo, 66 in Cleveland, 100 in Cathedral City. Oh, it's going to be nice. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Mindset is what separates the best from the rest. Now, this will put you in a solid mindset. A little bit of Vegas sun, maybe a pool, some dancing. Who knows? Well, guess what? We have an opportunity for you to get all of that for free. Channel Q wants to send you and a friend to Las Vegas. We're covering round-trip airfare for two, an epic two-night stay at the Resorts World Las Vegas. It's a brand new resort. And while you're there, because this is how we roll at Channel Q, we're going to throw in two VIP passes to catch DJ Tiesto's set at the brand new IU Day Club at Resorts World Las Vegas, Michaela's hometown.
Oh,
she'll
yeah,
probably
baby.
Be there in a bikini. That's a bonus right there.
That is. And then AJ will also be in his swimwear standing next to me enjoying.
Also in a bikini, more likely than not. Head over to wearechannelq.com right now for your chance to enter and win. You're running out of time. Do it, do it, do it.
All right, well, coming up in What the Health, Dr. James joins us on the end of masks for fully vaxxed people. But what does that mean? We discuss next.
Just yesterday, the CDC made a major announcement, followed up by the President of the United States and the Vice President, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, taking their mask off. Now, the CDC has said that as things stand here in the United States with this COVID-19 pandemic, that we can now take our mask off, not just outdoors, but also indoors. Mm-hmm. In any situation other than very large gatherings, if we are fully vaccinated, meaning you've either had one shot of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine or two shots of Pfizer and Moderna and have been vaccinated for 2 weeks. This is a big deal. Yet you go to the store, you go to the gym, everybody's still wearing their masks.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, Dr. James Simmons is here for What the Health to explain. Dr. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, of course. Happy to be here.
feels like one of those moments where we want to jump up and down and cheer for joy and just scream in ecstasy that we finally have turned a corner, yet you step out of your home and you go into any local business and things seem very much the same as they were the day before. Where do we stand? What exactly does this mean?
Yeah, this is both exciting and really confusing and confounding to a lot of people. So I think we still need to be excited about this. This is great, right? This is one of those announcements that we've all been waiting for since the beginning of this pandemic. And so what's happening is, as you said, those who are fully vaccinated, so 2 weeks after either your one jab of the Johnson & Johnson or your second dose of the Moderna or Pfizer, the CDC is now saying you do not have to wear a mask. You're safe to not wear a mask. And by safe, we mean you are at very, very, very low risk of contracting COVID-19 or spreading it to someone else if you have it. So you don't have to wear a mask for outdoor activities and indoor activities, except subject to local guidelines. And I think that's the thing that's most important. So in places that have been really, really, really hard hit, but are doing well now and being very cautious, like New York City, like LA County, like some other parts of the country, San Francisco, local ordinances still dominate. And of course, private businesses, can still do what they want to do. So I think why that's important is because part of the reason why LA County went from worst to first in the country is because of things like really, really restrictive masking. And so LA County is being very, very slow about reopening and making sure that we don't slide backwards. And I think that's important. So what I think these guidelines are saying and what you can kind of take away from this is that go to that backyard barbecue, go to your friend's place. If everyone's vaccinated, you get to sort of act like pre-pandemic. But if you're still in businesses, you probably are still going to have to wear a mask, know the local ordinances, and there's definitely still some restrictions going on with travel.
Yeah, that makes sense. I went into the gas station yesterday, and this guy had his mask off, and I feel like everybody was looking at him like, what are you doing? Like, it's crazy to now see people without masks, but it is important to follow protocol. I will say, though, people are still taking drastic measures to stay safe, although businesses are opening and companies are opening, allowing their employees to come back. They're still taking major precautions, even though people are vaccinated. Do you think that we're going to see more of that, or are people going to be able to start loosening up when it comes to work environment?
I think we're going to see some restrictions for quite a while, or people acting in a particular way, I should say, for a while, because this was traumatic, right? We all just went through this literally global collective trauma of this pandemic, and it's still going on in many, many parts of the world. I think a lot of people are reticent to let go of that. You know, a lot of people have been talking about how they also didn't get a cold. You know, our flu numbers were historically low this past. There really wasn't even a flu season. Lots of people have like, wow, I actually feel great. I feel safe. I feel protected in this mask. And it still is really important to a lot of people to signal, right or wrong, to signal to others that they are still in the fight with everyone, that we're still a part of the community. I mean, even though we have historically low numbers right now in terms of COVID cases, they're still happening in some places here in California and in other parts of the country where other people are listening right now. COVID cases are actually not doing very well, right? Cases are going up. So I think it's important that this needs to be understood by everyone listening as probably, and this is just my opinion, this is James Simmons's opinion, this was really part of the incentive for this last push of people who don't want to get vaccinated to encourage them to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
To say, hey, if you go out and get that vaccine, guess what you can do?
Take your mask off. Or yeah. If you live in Ohio, you could win $1 million. They're doing a giveaway every week for the next 5 weeks. The governor is giving $1 million to somebody who has been fully vaccinated or at least had one shot, I believe. This is interesting that you bring this up because you talk about the historic low numbers and influenza and the cold this past season. And pre-pandemic, I remember personally, I used to travel a lot. We went to Thailand and went to Indonesia, and a lot of Asian people tend to, international travelers, wear masks anyways, and they have for years. I've always noticed this, and there was that part of me inside that was like, okay, that's a little bit weird. Like, why are they doing that? You know, bird flu is a thing in the past. That's kind of where my mindset mm-hmm. was, and when I first put on my mask, I was so self-conscious those first few days, and now I'm looking and I'm like, oh, they were onto something. They were smarter than me the whole time. They knew that there's always this lingering potential of something like this happening.
And if there is a potential for this happening, always, and there has been, and, you know, a lot of people might not like hearing this, but there's also the potential for something else to happen in the future. This will not be the last viral pandemic. I'm sorry to burst everyone's bubble. Also, we still have places like India and other parts of the country that are still being ravaged by COVID-19. I think it's important for everyone to remember we're doing really, really, really well, but we are a resource-rich country. Mm. Most people in the country want to be vaccinated, right? There are individual places like Los Angeles where people are starting to very casually throw around the term herd immunity, because we're reaching that, potentially, we're getting close to reaching that level where people have had enough vaccinations or people have natural immunity to this thing because they got sick with COVID earlier. That's not happening in other parts of the world. Mm. So this is why when it comes to travel, with these guidelines now from the CDC, they're still urging people, please mask, please, you know, if you're doing travel, it doesn't necessarily have to just be essential travel, but this is not when you're going to start doing your like trip around the world, right? Your lifetime bucket list trip around the world. You're still going to wear your mask. You're still going to physically distance from folks. And you still need to have that test when you go abroad outside of U.S. Borders. When you come back in, you still need to have a negative test within 3 days of traveling back in.
Well, Dr. James Simmons, we want to continue having more conversations with you in regards to how vaccines are messing up mammograms, oddly enough, and why men should be worried about their manhood if they get COVID.
Yikes.
It's something to discuss coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for another round of What the Health with Dr. James Simmons. Some new news on the COVID front regarding vaccines and women's health and health in general.
Yeah, this is terrifying. So, you know, women have to go get pap smears and mammograms at least once a year, but doctors are now fearing that COVID-19 vaccines are messing with mammograms. What do you say about that, Dr. James Simmons? Because I've been a little hesitant. I told you, on this fertility journey, I was set to get Johnson & Johnson, and then they got recalled, and I got very nervous. But now I feel a little nervous again with the mammograms.
Don't feel nervous. This is very, this is sort of a categorically different issue at all. And I think it's really important for everyone to remember, of course, that when we talk about these things, all this new stuff that we're finding that COVID is influencing, they're not all the same. Let's not all lump them in the same bucket of like, oh my God, this is something that's scary. So what's going on is when you get a mammogram, we're looking for different things in the mammogram. Obviously, lumps, abnormal breast tissue. And one of the things we're also looking for are lymph nodes. And if those lymph nodes are inflamed or swollen or look really big, in particular, there you have lymph nodes, and a lot of people don't know this, you have lymph nodes in your armpits. And so sometimes when you're sick or your immune system is reacting in a really big way, like right after you get a vaccine, your lymph nodes are going to swell up really big, and that's good. We want them to. That's part of your immune system. Well, what's happening is there are people with breasts who are going to get mammograms soon or soonish after getting a vaccine, and their lymph nodes are still very, very, very swollen. Well, so what the mammogram, you know, the people, individuals reading the mammograms are looking at are, okay, well, I have what probably looks like otherwise normal breast tissue, except I have really, really big lymph nodes in the armpits, you know, kind of that upper area of your breast. Oh my gosh. Does that big lymph node mean there's something going on from a cancer standpoint or abnormal tissue standpoint, or is this a reaction from the vaccine? So what it's causing is causing lots of people who get mammograms to have to go back and get repeat imaging or additional tests to figure out which one it is. I will tell you that the percentages are very, very, very low for people who go back in and get additional testing and something pops up that is not related to the vaccine, right? Most of these people's inflamed lymph nodes are from the vaccine.
I will tell you, Dr. James, my mother had breast cancer a couple of years ago, and she's completely cancer-free now, thank God. But I learned all about lymph nodes back then because they had to remove some of hers, and it's very problematic. But I'm so glad you cleared that up for us. It's interesting how the human mind can hear 1,000 things that are positive, but they hear one negative thing and they get really, really nervous. And I'm sure as a medical practitioner, that has to be really frustrating at times. But we appreciate that you clarify these things for us, because I'm nervous right now. Here's why I'm nervous. Apparently, coronavirus can linger in the penis and cause long-term impotence. What?
Yeah, this is pretty wild, isn't it? No, I will say for those who everyone who listens to the Morning Beat on Channel Q is very, very smart, right? But the folks out there who have good brains about this know that the numbers of individuals that we look at when we do any sort of research is really important. So I think it's before we even get to this, I want everyone to know that this was only studied in 4 people, okay?
Wait, what?
So 4 men. Right. So, but it's interesting, and I think it's worthwhile talking. So I don't want everyone to get crazy and freak out too much, including you, AJ. But what they found, bottom line, was that COVID, remnants of COVID-19, of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, were found in penile tissue. There were 2 men who went in to have surgery because there's some surgical things we can do for erectile dysfunction. When all other means have sort of been exhausted, there's some surgical things we can do. Well, they agreed to be a part of a study, and they said, okay, you're going to do the surgery, which involves maybe a removal or adjustment of some penile tissue. We're going to take that tissue. We're going to study it in the lab, see if it had any SARS-CoV-2, any COVID-19 in it. Turns out it did. And 2 men who knew they had COVID earlier in the year, they both recovered from it and were doing fine. They also looked at 2 other men who tested negative and had no antibodies against COVID as a control. Those 2 men did clearly not have COVID in their penis. So what they found out was, okay, if you get COVID, remnants of that will remain in all parts of your body, including in your penis tissue. And these 2 men, interestingly, had no erectile dysfunction issues before they got COVID.
Uh-oh.
They had significant erectile dysfunction issues after having COVID. So did the COVID cause their erectile dysfunction issues? We can't say that there's a direct cause and effect. I do think it's very, very interesting, though, that these 2 men were both young. They did not have erectile dysfunction issues before COVID. They had significant erectile dysfunction issues after COVID that required surgery, and they had evidence of COVID in their penile tissue.
Okay, Dr. James, before we let you go, 2 things.
Okay.
1, I'm wearing my mask for the rest of my life. 2, a very wise doctor once told me correlation does not equal causation. So maybe, who knows? I don't know. Thank you for that
I think this is really interesting.
I'm sweating.
There will be a lot more research about this.
He literally does not know what to say.
I'm sweating.
All right. Well, Dr. James, we appreciate you joining us as always and talking with us. And we'll talk to you very soon. Have a great weekend.
You got it. You too, y'all.
All right. Well, coming up in What's Poppin', Laverne Cox is back in the news after her voice was dubbed by a male. Is this problematic? Some don't seem to think so, but we discuss coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, at the top of the hour, we've got some major breaking news that we're getting information on right now that could put former President Trump behind bars. We're pulling that information. We're going to have all the details for you. News on the Beat. Michaela will have that for you momentarily. Right now, though, she does have another round of What's Poppin'. It's been sort of a roller coaster week for Laverne Cox. What's going on?
Okay, so this is really interesting. Laverne Cox plays a character in a new thriller, and her character's name is Gail, and it's not scheduled to come out, I think
internationally.
Yesterday it came out internationally.
Got it.
However,
Promising Young Woman is the Carey Mulligan film. It was nominated for some Oscars. It was fantastic. It's been released here in the United States,
but now internationally.
Yes. Yep.
And so Italian fans particularly, but most fans, took to social media immediately after watching it as they noticed that her voice was dubbed by a male character. And it was voiced by an actor named Roberto Pedicini. But Italian viewers could not believe their ears, immediately voicing their outrage. An Italian trans actor and voice actor said, "I think this dubbing choice was a straight up act of violence. It's insulting. I'd feel bullied if I were Cox." And many people feel that same way. And unfortunately, this is not the first time Italy's dubbing industry has failed Cox in the trans community. In Orange is the New Black, her character Sophia Brissett was voiced by a male dubber who also voiced her character in The Mindy Project and the short-lived drama Doubt. But Italy is actually very far from being the only country misgendering Cox on the dubbing stage. In Spain and Germany, a cis man was cast to voice Cox in Promising Young Women. And people are very upset. However, there was a point that was made that I think we could just acknowledge. I was talking to a couple of my trans girlfriends the other day, and they said, you know, you can never tell. Sometimes if the work is good, you can never tell, but you can tell in the voice. That's sometimes the giveaway. And the voice, unless you change it, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, this is a point that you made, but I sort of back you on, is it just a tone thing?
Yeah. If we want to look at equality, we want to look at opportunities, is it necessarily bullying? I don't know what the answer is. You'd have to ask Laverne Cox how she feels about this, because, you know, trans women oftentimes do have a specific type of voice that could be a little bit more raspy or a little more masculine than a cis woman. It's beautiful. It's unique. I love it. But it is different. But then again, there are women historically who also have that sort of raspy sort of voice. So then is the task to find a matching gender, or is it more important to find a voice that is similar? Italy is problematic, though, for a lot of other reasons when it comes to films. Since 1930, they made it illegal to even use any sort of foreign language in their films. So when it comes to dubbing, it comes to different languages, they've had a bit of a troubled past on this issue in particular. Like you said, Spain, Germany as well. So we'll see how this all plays out.
Absolutely.
Also, Laverne Cox, major news in Laverne Cox's world right now. She was also just announced on the upside as the next host, replacing Juliana Rancic on E's Live from the Red Carpet, which is
huge. We love it.
The first transgender person to have that role. Major changes over at E.
You know what I will? I would like to say this, though. Maybe we could talk about it next week. I love the representation, and I think it's phenomenal. But have we have we overcast Laverne Cox? Is it time to start?
That is a very good question.
Casting other trans people, because I think we often fall into the trap of like, well, she's trans
she's
been in everything.
So we're going to give them all the opportunities. I bet Laverne Cox would have a really interesting take on that as well, because Laverne Cox has said, and Billy Porter
Let me tell you how many times I've slipped into her DMs. I've been trying.
She's
to
great
get her on the show.
I've interviewed her a couple times. As she's gotten more famous, it's gotten more difficult. But Billy Porter has said about Pose, he's like, listen, I'm glad you guys are giving me these awards and they're shine on the show, but it's time to give the awards to all of these different talented women, and there are many of them.
Yeah, there are, and I think it's time to start casting other trans women as well. But we can talk about that next week. Now, coming up in the next hour, we're talking, there's breaking news about Trump possibly finally going to prison. It could be that serious. We're also discussing Chrissy Teigen and her ruthless cyberbullying.
Problematic.
Tweets have come out. I don't believe in cancel culture, but she might actually have to get canceled this time. We discuss in the next hour.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for another round of news on the beat. Some major news coming out of Palm Beach, Florida, involving prison bars and the former president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Michaela Gordon, what do you have?
So law enforcement officials in Palm Beach County, Florida, have actively prepared for the possibility that Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance could indict former President Donald Trump while he's at Mar-a-Lago, according to two high-ranking county officials involved in planning sessions. Among the topics discussed in those meetings, how to handle the thorny extradition issues that could arise if an indictment moves forward. An obscure clause in Florida's statute on interstate extradition gives Governor Ron DeSantis the ability to intervene and even investigate whether an indicted person ought to be surrendered to law enforcement officials from another state, which means that as Mar-a-Lago prepares to close down for the season and Trump relocates to Bedminster, New Jersey, it isn't just the Florida heat he's leaving behind. He could lose a key piece of political protection. I'll tell you what, though, Ron DeSantis, not breaking news. He made it legal that when you order food now, you can also order to-go alcoholic drinks.
So he's won you over?
Yes. No, he's been making all these different rules, just putting all different kinds of things in place. Am I understanding correctly that he could even have a say as far as now indicting Donald Trump?
Yeah, no, what this means, though, is if the Southern District of New York wants to go after Trump and they put out a warrant for him, Ron DeSantis, basically because of this clause, could protect him in the state of Florida.
No way.
Keep him there. The wrinkle, though, as you mentioned, is really interesting that Mar-a-Lago is only open for a season, and it's not his full-time residence, technically. It's not even supposed to be a residence. Many people in that area said, listen, we don't want him living here, period. So now he's going to have to relocate to New Jersey, which is a more Democratic state.
Yeah.
Could he be protected there? Not necessarily.
Maybe he'll join the cast of Housewives of New Jersey.
Maybe he could do that. He and Melania would be great.
Oh my God, that's actually a funny skit.
Low-key, I feel like Teresa Giudice would be friends with Melania.
Low-key, I think so. Low-key, I think a lot of those people voted for Trump.
I think maybe some of them.
I think so.
I can't More imagine, than you would think. I can't imagine Melissa Gorga, whatever.
No, well, Melissa Gorga would never do any wrong.
She's flawless.
She's perfect.
She low-key might not vote either, so.
Yeah, she may just have decided not to vote altogether. All right, in other news, people in the U.S. who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 do not need to wear masks or practice social distancing indoors or outdoors, except in certain circumstances. According to new guidance from the CDC, this news is a game changer, and some states and businesses are already reconsidering their mask policies in response. However, experts say there's still a long road ahead for those who haven't been vaccinated, and questions remain for people with compromised immune systems or households with unvaccinated children or other members. Meanwhile, the fate of the Tokyo Olympic Games is still in the air. A doctors' union in Japan has urged the government to cancel this summer's competitions, citing the country's low vaccination rate.
Can I just go back a moment and tell you something about our show that just pleases me?
Go off.
I can't imagine another morning show anywhere in this country where you can pivot from a conversation about Donald J. Trump going to jail, the former president, and also somehow weave Teresa Giudice and Melissa Gorga into the conversation effortlessly.
I know, we're iconic.
It's who we are here at the Morning Beat.
We are iconic.
Nowhere else will you get this conversation.
Listen, I have quite the treat for my TikTok followers. You know this. I told you this idea, and you were all about it. AJ has this joke with me that all I need is one compliment. It usually comes from AJ or
Lisa. She thinks she's famous forever.
And then I'm like, on it. But I have quite the treat, and it does involve the Housewives. It's coming soon to TikTok.
And also your musical prowess.
Yeah.
Your vocal superiority. Okay, that's enough.
Do you guys want to hear a tune? Okay,
no.
Let's get into weather. It's going to be it's a high of 100 in Cathedral City today, 86 in Sacramento, 72 in St. Louis, 72 in Baltimore, 72 in Seattle, 72 in Kansas. Oh my God, it's 72 everywhere, but it is 99 in Vegas.
Okay.
And 70 in L.A.
Let's meet in Las Vegas. I almost said meet me in St. Louis, but it's only 72 degrees there,
so no
way.
Meet me in Vegas.
Vegas. It's hot. It's popping. It's going to be hot and popping all summer long because Vegas is back open for business, baby. And Channel Q wants to send you there. You and a friend, we're going to cover round-trip airfare for two, an epic two-night stay at the brand-new Resorts World Las Vegas.
Woo!
And because we're Channel Q, and this is how we do things here at Channel Q, we're going to throw in two VIP passes so that you and that friend can catch the DJ Tiesto do a set at the brand-new IU Day Club at Resorts World Las Vegas. This is an iconic giveaway. Head over to wearechannelq.com right now for your chance to enter and win. You're running out of time. Don't waste any
more. You're running out of time.
Now, before we let you go, here is your vibe of the day. You ready for it, Michaela Gordon?
Ready, babe.
Mindset is what separates the best from the rest.
Hey, now. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Mindset. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, this is big news. Chrissy Teigen has been in the headlines for quite a bit, but now she's in the headlines for cyberbullying and to the point where she wished somebody death. Has, I don't believe in cancel culture, but I think she went a little too far. And we're going to discuss coming up next.
Listen, neither of us here, Michaela and I, are not fans of cancel culture.
No!
And in recent months, I feel like the conservative right has used this sort of like culture wars. Well, they've been doing it for a long time, but they've been and sort of almost turning cancel culture against progressives and saying that we just want to cancel everybody and that we're hypocrites and that we're, you know, we give somebody a pass but not somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chrissy Teigen, a darling of the liberal left, progressives, we're all fans of her, generally speaking. She's a little problematic on social media. She's disappeared from Twitter a couple of times, then came back. She gets into debates a lot on social media. If you're not familiar, she's a supermodel and the wife of John Legend,
yeah.
Right? Well, now brands are starting to step away from her because some screenshots have come out of her cyberbullying Courtney Stodden. Now, for those who don't fully understand, Michaela. Who is Courtney Stodden?
So this is really wild because I remember Courtney Stodden when she was just 16 years old. She was married to the guy from the Green Mile. I'm talking about in the past. So Courtney Stodden in the past did not go by they, them, which I will acknowledge. She went by she, her. Mm-hmm. She was 16 years old.
Got it.
And she was married to the guy from the Green Mile. What was his name again? He was the white actor.
Doug Hutchinson.
Okay. And he was much older than she was.
She was married at 16?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So this all started, this was years ago. This was probably 15 years ago. When reality was really starting to heighten, she was on a reality show with him, and people really were taking jabs at her. The story got really dark when rumors were that her mother actually was like having an affair with Doug. It was like very, very dysfunctional.
Courtney's mother. Okay, no, just so we're to clarify, this was 2011, so about 10 years ago.
Okay, 10 years ago. Yep. Okay, so unfortunately, she then decided to leave Doug Hutchinson, and then she sort of got out of the spotlight. Now, she has reemerged on social media, and she has decided to be open about being non-binary, and she now goes by they, them.
Got it.
So her preferred pronouns are they, them, and they are coming out with new music. Well, in this reemergence, she's talking a lot, they're talking a lot about, just really problematic things. And they say, like, the media was really mean to me when I was 16. And I was a product of what I was coming from. I don't know why I would be bullied. Then they go on to share tweets from Chrissy Teigen, where Chrissy Teigen not only bullied her, asking them, do you even have a family? You need a dirt nap. You're disgusting.
Yeah.
There's private DMs where Chrissy Teigen asks them to kill themselves and asks, why won't you just die? Now, I am not okay with cancel culture. I hate cancel culture. However, if you have had it at any point in your body to wish death, not only on a person, but on a 16-year-old, there's no excuse. There's no apology. Also, it was said that Chrissy Teigen did not apologize, had ample time to apologize, did not start apologizing until Target removed her, I believe it's
Cravings, her cookbook?
Yeah, her cookbook. Yeah. So now she's like, so sorry.
Who would say to somebody, I can't wait for you to die?
I don't know.
Chrissy Teigen coming from such a place of privilege and such a, like, what, you're married to John Legend, which is still a strange relationship to me. I've never fully understood it because Chrissy Teigen to me seems a little bit unhinged oftentimes and a little bit just off the rails. And John Legend seems like the most steady, kind, loving, nurturing husband. Maybe that's why they work. I don't know.
Listen, I was a big fan of Chrissy Teigen. I really liked her. I thought she was funny. I thought she was so beautiful. I even took empathy on her when she was going through whatever addiction she was going through and has now apparently been sober. I have zero empathy for somebody that wishes death on a 16-year-old.
Well, listen, I'm okay giving her not a pass at all because when you're bullying somebody to that point, because there have been plenty of cases now that have been tried in the court of law where this sort of bullying that actually did lead to suicide, you know, the bullier goes to prison because it's punishable now, and there's been a precedent set by that in our judicial system. So had Courtney outcome been different, Chrissy Teigen could well be in, you know, handcuffs behind bars right now. Now, I'm okay with, you know, Chrissy Teigen says, listen, I'm so sorry I let you guys down. I will forever work on being better than I was 10 years ago, 1 year ago, 6 months ago. I get that. That's fine. You can apologize and say you want to do better. But that doesn't mean that we should continue to elevate her and give her, you know, multi-million dollar book deals and private lines at Target and cookware. That doesn't mean she gets to have all of that.
But I really want to explain this situation for people that don't understand. Courtney Stodden, at the time went by she, her, was 16 years old, married to a 50-year-old.
Yes.
She was being called a slut by Joy Behar, a whore by Courtney Love. She was being viciously attacked in the media. I was 16 when I was on American Idol, and I remember reading the message boards being compared to Carrie Underwood. It almost destroyed me, and it still has, like, the aftermath, and that was just of singing.
Well, I think also, like, if she at the time was 16, and listen, we're getting the pronouns wrong left and right. It's fine.
Well, we're talking about
they
past.
Go, but yeah, we're, past tense, they identified as she. As a 16-year-old married to somebody in your 50s, why? And it's Stodden, by the way, not Stoddard. You said Stoddard.
I keep saying Stoddard.
I'm thinking
sorry.
Ruben Stoddard.
I do.
But I think that why is the hatred thrown at her and not the 50-some-year-old male who married a 16-year-old?
But why wasn't Doug questioned? Why wasn't the
exactly.
mother questioned?
And also, if you're Chrissy Teigen or Joy Behar or any of these other women, why are you attacking the woman? Why are you not reaching out to defend or protect a 16-year-old child?
She was a child.
Who's married to a 50-some-year-old. Why is that
and
the 16-year-old?
And he was a very famous actor, especially at that
point. At that time. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's vile how they treated her. And I think that you cannot excuse the fact that she was a baby. And instead of Chrissy Teigen or anybody else asking if she needed help, if everything was okay, they ridiculed her, wished death on her, called her a whore on a very public form. I think it's gross. Mm. I think it's rude. I think that that's so traumatic. And I think that as she got older, 17, 18, 19, she continued getting criticized for getting her breast implants, this and that. She was honestly just playing up to what everybody called her.
Of course. It's making you money. It's getting you fame. It's the thing that you self-identify as because that's what people are telling you that you are.
Yeah.
For many years, I was a sassy, moderately, you know, sexually like active gay guy because that's what the world told me I was for so many years.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I could have a relationship and a marriage and a family and all these other things until I actually fought for it and changed the narrative. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, whether you're male, female, gay, straight, bi, non-binary, or whatever.
I think so too, but I'm not okay with that and I feel really bad. All right, well, coming up, we're playing a little game that involves letters, not LGBTQ, but so much more coming up next.
Tell me something good.
It's that time again, one of my favorite times in our show where we get to end things on a high note with all sorts of positivity. So we're going to start this off with, and this is really cool, Pride is right around the corner. And I don't know, when you were a kid, did you ever play a game called Uno or Skip-Bo?
Yes!
Okay, so I loved both of them. They're very similar, but I never really knew which one I loved more until this moment right now. Uno takes the cake. Because Uno is releasing a special...
Oh, no, you did it.
I sure did. They're releasing a special edition Pride deck in honor of Pride coming up next month. They're also partnering with the It Gets Better project, which has been around for a decade now, if you can believe that. And they're making a $50,000 donation. This limited edition set of deck of cards, these Uno cards, they're bright and vibrant and colorful, and they're only available at select Target stores and on Target.com. So, if you're a fan, this game costs $5.99. It's probably why I played it so much when I was growing up. I grew up in a single-parent household. We didn't have a lot of money. We played a lot of card games. Uno was absolutely one of my very favorite. So, if you want to support It Gets Better, go ahead and buy a pack or two this Pride season. Thank you to Mattel for making this happen. It's pretty cool stuff. I
love that. Okay, well, listen, this is really good news. Now, we've had Carl Schmidt on this show. He's so wonderful. He's in charge of Plus Life Media. And he just posted on his Instagram literally 22 minutes ago. And he said, "Dare to dream the American dream." Absolutely. He has officially become a citizen of the United States of America.
Yes.
He said, "I proudly became a citizen of the United States. And while the journey has certainly not been an easy one, I'm sure glad that I never threw in the towel and gave up." He says that shows like The Wonderful World of Disney on TV really inspired him to want to come to America. And he felt like that was such a dream to him. From visiting San Francisco to taking the road trip to Disneyland, he knew in his heart that he'd work and live in America one day. And he's done so. And he's become quite the advocate. And he has... now officially become a citizen. We love that. Congratulations, Carl.
Listen, this story is just coming out of the University of Oklahoma. Congrats, Carl, by the way. So the students at the University of Oklahoma, and Oklahoma tends to get a bad rep. They're one of the most conservative states in the entire country. I have family there. There are many things about the state that are very, very problematic. But apparently the student body and faculty there have selected their first male king and king homecoming kings. They decided to this year get rid of like all sort of, they're going traditional non-binary based king and queen. They've gotten rid of it this year. So they selected Henry and Norris. One of them is a straight white guy. The other one is a queer man of color. And they are the two homecoming kings for the University of Oklahoma this year, which is, that's progress.
Yeah.
And that just tells you, like, regardless of what it might seem like in this country sometimes in certain states, young people are changing. They're changing the world. And
they
even
are.
In a place like Oklahoma, these 19, 20, 21-year-olds are saying, listen, we're tired of things the way they were. Like, we're going to change. And that's pretty awesome.
So I love it.
Kudos to the Sooners and the University of Oklahoma.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you so much for listening to our show. As always, we hope you have an amazing weekend. We have a great show for you Monday. We're talking with our dear friend of Channel Q, Nina West. She has a big announcement, and she will be speaking with us. We have our best of tomorrow. If you missed anything, as always, you can download our podcast at odyssey.com. But have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.